Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And we're going to begin reading this morning in the very first verse. Psalm 51, beginning in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, this morning as we examine this scripture, Father, we pray right now, Father, that you would open our hearts to the message, Father, that you would have for each one of us here today. Father, that we may be obedient to you, and Father, that we may be convicted, Lord, of where we've wronged you, where we've failed you, and Father, that you would, just as David asked, Father, create a clean heart and a right spirit within each one of us. And Father, this morning, if there are any here that don't know you as their Savior, Father, I pray this morning right now that you would touch that heart most of all, Lord, that they would give their heart and their life to you before it's too late. Father, this time is yours. And Father, we wait on you right now and look forward to what you're going to do. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen. Now, you saw in your bulletin all the things that we've got going on in September. We got a busy September going on. And one thing that is going to be happening starting 2 weeks from tonight is we're going to be in revival. And I hope you're praying for that right now. I guarantee you. I know Brother Fred Baker, who Fred's going to be bringing our revival. I've known Fred and Miss Linda for a lot of years. And I guarantee you, Fred's been praying for this ever since I called him about 6 months ago. I guarantee you he has been. I've known this man and his family for a lot of years. I pastored down in Newton Grove, and he was right down the road at Spivey's Corner at Roberts Grove, where he's been for a number of years. I remember when he and Miss Linda were missionaries over in the Philippines for quite a few years, and would meet them when they came on furlough and they came back home and got to know them. And all through the years, as I've known Brother Fred, I can tell you he's a good man. He's a good man. He's a man of God. He's going to bring the messages God had laid on his heart for our revival meetings. And he's a good man. But Fred Baker is not going to be the one to bring revival. As good as what he is, he's going to bring the messages that God lays on his heart, but revival is only going to come from God and God's Holy Spirit working and moving among his people and his people being obedient to that. That is the only way revival is going to come. And I wanted to let's start talking about that this morning, because revival does not have to, by any rule or definition, start on a Sunday night and end on a Thursday night. We don't have to wait for revival to start 2 weeks from now. Revival needs to start now within each one of us. And we know that revival will come to a church, and revival to come with us, come to us individually, when we realize that we've wronged our God, when we realize we've fallen short of the glory that He has and what He wants us to do, and we call on Him and ask Him to forgive us of our sins, we repent of those sins, and then we turn back to God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." This psalm, part of the psalm that we read this morning, this was written after David had committed his sin with Bathsheba. Not to go over the whole story, but you know the story. David had been out on his roof. He had been somewhere he shouldn't have been, and he saw this woman bathing, and he lusted after her, and he decided, "I want her for my wife." And he was told, "You can't have her. She's already married." Well, David took her anyway and then found out that she was expecting a child by that sin. So David, in order to try and cover up that sin, commits another sin and basically has her husband murdered. Had him moved to the front of the battle where he would be killed. And then he took this lady Bathsheba for his wife. Now, about a year has passed. David probably thinks he's gotten away with this. But God, folks, God never lets us get away with sin, does He? There's always going to be a consequence. At some point, at some place, maybe not immediately, but somewhere down the road, it's going to come. And God sends His prophet Nathan in to confront David and tell David, "You were wrong." And I love this about David. God says David was a man after His own heart. David was far from perfect. Far from perfect. But when David was confronted with his sin, David did exactly what you and I ought to do, and that is we fall to our knees, we asked God to forgive us. Now, consequence still had to be paid, and that child died. That child died. But David wrote this psalm to ask God to forgive him of what he had done, to forgive him of the wrong that he had engaged in. David was basically asking God to revive him, to restore that relationship with Him that he once had. Think about David. God had been with David all through his life, even as a young boy. When nobody else would go up against Goliath, David said, "I'll do it. You know, God's with me, I can take care of it." Even when they put all the armor on David, David laid it aside. He said, "You know what, I don't know if that's going to protect me or not, but I'm going to go in the protection of the Lord because I've got that proved in my life." And David went and defeated somebody that all the armies of Israel wouldn't even dare to go up against him. David was anointed by God and blessed even as a young boy, even as a king on the throne. David had been given everything that his heart's heart could desire by God, as long as he followed God, as long as he stayed in His will. So what went so wrong with this man that was a man after God's own heart, that he found himself committing adultery and murder and then trying to hide it from God? If this is a man after God's own heart and he can find himself in that predicament, church, don't you think we can find ourselves away from God quickly as well? And when we do, that's when we need a revival. David was confronted by Nathan, and David realized that he needed a revival in his life. Folks, I pray that God will confront us of areas that we've wronged Him, where we have failed Him, and that He will revive us. Because you know what? If He revives me and He revives you and we become revived together, collectively as a church, there is absolutely nothing that we cannot do through God. Absolutely nothing. The easiest thing for us to do, folks, when we get saved and we accept Christ as our Savior and we start following Him, the easiest thing we can do is allow sin to creep into our lives. No matter how harmless or how small or it might seem, if we let that happen, pretty soon we can find ourselves in trouble before we ever knew we had a problem. I remember reading one time about a little boy. His father tucked him in, told him to go to bed, and the little boy went in there and he went to bed. And sometime later, father hears a thud on the floor, and he runs in, and the little boy had fallen out of bed. And the father looked at him and he said, "Son, what happened?" And the little boy said, "I fell asleep too close to where I got in." I'm afraid the same thing happens to us as Christians. We step into salvation and then we fall asleep. Folks, we need to get out in the waters of God. We need to get out to the point where we're not clinging with one hand to the shore and the other hand to God in the water. We need to get out like Peter did when he was called to walk on the water. As long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was fine, wasn't he? The minute he took his eyes off and started worrying about the things that were around him, he began to sink. So with revival only a couple of weeks away, there's a question, folks, that every one of us need to answer individually and collectively as a church, and that is, do we really need a revival? And I'll bet you if we're honest with ourselves, the answer is yes, we do. Individually and collectively. I think there's a few ways, folks, we can tell if we really need a revival. And the first one is, when we are no longer excited about salvation, we need a revival. When it no longer excites us inside, we need a revival. Think about it, folks. Before you came to know Christ as your Savior, you were lost. You were serving the devil. You were headed for hell. There was no way you could help yourself. But even in that time, Jesus cared for us. David remembered that over in Psalm 40, where he said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry and brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord." When you think about the day when you got saved, does it give you a warm feeling in your heart? Does maybe it bring a tear to you? Do you remember the day that you gave your heart to Christ? I remember, folks, in a revival meeting, sitting back there about the row where Jamie's on, and I was playing with a metal Band-Aid box. You know the kind like Band-Aids used to come in? I was a little younger, and I remember playing with that Band-Aid box. And I don't even remember the minister's name, but I do remember this, Brother Lloyd. He said, if you're afraid to walk down this aisle, if you'll just put your foot in the aisle, I'll come and get you. Folks, I was a little young and I was playing with a Band-Aid box, but let me tell you something. Those children that were up here, they're listening. Trust me, they're listening. I was. And he said, if you're afraid to walk down the aisle, if you'll put your foot in the aisle, I'll come and get you. I thought, I can do that. And I had every intention of putting that foot in the aisle and making him come get me. But I didn't. I walked to the front and I accepted Christ as my Savior. Now I'm going to tell you something. That was a lot of years ago. And in between that day and today, there's been more days than I care to remember where I've not lived for Christ like I should. But you know what? I believe my Bible where it says, if we ask Him to forgive us, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you know what? It still gives me a good feeling to remember the day that I made that commitment to Christ. It should give all of us a good feeling. It should bless our hearts when we think about that. Folks, we've had baptisms, a fairly good number of baptisms here in the last 6 months, and they've been a lot of young people. Doesn't it bless your heart when we're baptizing teenagers and young people? It should. Salvation is a gift that you can't boast about. You can only be thankful. I wish I knew who said that. But we can only be thankful. Folks, Christ is everything, people, that we need. Whatever we need, He's got it. And outside of that, we don't need it. Outside of that, we don't need it. When we think about the time we got saved, where God brought us from, with the change that we felt in our lives, it should excite us. There was a man by the name of John Newton. You may have heard the man. But John Newton followed in the footsteps of his father. His father was a sailor, and at a very young age, John Newton boarded a ship and became a merchant marine. He became a sailor. And History tells us that he was not a real good man at that time. He was very violent. He basically, every port that he came in, he would spend his money on sinful amusements and things, and ended up becoming a full-blown alcoholic. Just drank himself almost to death. And one night on that ship, while they were out on the seas, a wave washed him overboard, and he is laying there in the waves beside of this ship. He's being tossed back and forth. And for the first time in his life, this sinner called out to God, and he said a wave washed him back on the boat. And that night, he gave his heart and his life to Christ. This is the same John Newton, folks, that wrote Amazing Grace in your hymn books. Folks, when you read the words to that, to me, I'll bet you every letter he put down in that song, he remembered that wave washing him back on that boat. Folks, I'll bet his salvation still excited him. The night where he was standing between death and life, and he accepted life. Folks, salvation needs to excite us. And if it doesn't, we need a revival. If we no longer have a passion, and I mean a real passion, for serving Jesus, we need a revival. Think about it. In the Bible, every time somebody crossed the path with Jesus and their life got changed, they immediately went out and started doing something for him. Remember the little man Zacchaeus that hid up in the tree to see Jesus coming by? When he met Jesus and his life got changed, what did he do? He went out and everybody he cheated, Zacchaeus gave their money back to him, didn't he? Everybody that he had cheated, he went and he tried to make that right. When Saul, who later became known as Paul, one of the greatest missionaries and who wrote most of our New Testament books in the Bible, when he met Christ on the Damascus Road, Saul said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me do?" He wanted to know, I'm going to serve you, Lord, but what do you want me to do? He wanted to do something, and do something he did. Do something he did. What about the woman at the well? There was a woman at the well, and we talked about her a few weeks ago, that she met Jesus, and Jesus changed her life. And when she left there, she immediately went to somebody else and said, "Come and see a man which told me all the things I ever did. Is this not the Christ?" Even the disciples, Jesus' inner 12, when he called them from the job that they were doing, not a one of them does it say they considered it for a week and got back to him. It said they left and straightway followed him. They left it behind and they followed him. Folks, when we get revived, we will have a passion for dropping whatever we're doing and following Jesus, and working for him in any way that we can. We are his hands, his feet, his mouth, his arms, his eyes. Folks, when we meet Christ and we see the abilities that he can share with us to share his gospel with others, we should want to do everything we can to share that gospel. Folks, within this church, and Miss Barbara will tell you, there is more talent in this church than you'll find in many other Free Will Baptist churches. Not just talent for singing or playing an instrument, but folks, teaching in Sunday schools. Folks, working with our young people. Folks, sending letters to and cards to people that are in the hospital and that are sick and going to visit them. I told somebody just this week, I don't do a very good job of sending cards. When I don't forget Ginger's birthday. Let me give you that. I do not forget her birthday, okay? But even Ginger will tell you that probably there's a 50-50 shot. She knows she's going to get a present, but she may not get a card. Is that right? Now, as long as she gets the present, she's cool with that, all right? But I'm just not good at doing that. But you know what? Some of you are. Some of you are, and you know what? That's your ministry. That's your ministry. Had a young man in this church even make the statement earlier this year, found out this man was an electrician and did some work and said, "You know what? I can't teach, I can't sing, but this might be my ministry." You know? Folks, we need to have a passion for serving Christ. At my last church, I had a man come up to me one day at church and he said, "Brother Roger, we need to do something about working with our youth." He said, "We need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this." I said, "That's great. When do you want to get started?" He said, "I won't talk about me." I said, "They're your ideas." I said, "I'm willing to help you. I can garner help for you, but these are your ideas. When do you want to get started?" I didn't see him for 3 weeks in church. One of my deacons asked me, said, "What happened to him?" I said, "I think I know." But folks, with all due respect, I meant that. Folks, we don't need to pawn off what God wants us to do onto somebody else. Do you realize there are people that may accept Christ because you talk to them, not me? They may not listen to a word I say, but they may listen to you. You may have been through things in your life where you can identify with what somebody else is going through in their life. And you may be the very ones to lead them to Christ. Folks, we need to have a passion for serving Jesus. And if we don't, we need revival. And I promise I'll hurry along. If the Holy Spirit no longer convicts, we need revival. Folks, we've grown up in a world where we've gotten calloused to the things of God. There was a time where when messages were preached or when people heard a gospel song or when people felt God's touch in their life, tears would flow. And they would repent. And now it's gotten to the point in a lot of cases that we've allowed the devil to come in and steal our joy. We really have. And as hearts get hardened to the Word of God, it becomes more difficult for us to feel the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. Jesus even gave a parable about this, the parable of the sower and the seed. You remember? A sower went out to sow seeds and some fell on different kinds of ground. Let's look at this stuff. The seed in that parable was the Word of God. Some of that seed grew, some of it didn't. But is there a problem with the Word of God? No. The sower in that parable is Jesus. Through me and you, His Word is spread all across this land. Was there a problem with the sower? No, because that was Jesus Christ and He's perfect now, then, and in everything that He did. So the problem had to be with the ground. And when it was so hard, it wouldn't take the seed. Folks, that's our hearts a lot of times. That's our hearts a lot of times. We can't let our hearts get hardened. Hebrews 4:7, "Today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart." And Hosea 10:12, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord." Folks, as we've got revival approaching, we need to make sure that our hearts are receptive to the moving of the Holy Spirit and not to be hardened. Not to be hardened. When Peter preached at Pentecost, Scripture said that the people were pricked in their hearts, not by Peter, but by the Holy Spirit, and over 3,000 were saved. 3,000 were saved. I think, though, a lot of times, folks, our hearts are so hardened, we don't feel the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. That's why we don't see tears like we used to. That's why we don't see altars full anymore. And finally, when we feel ourselves slipping away from God, that is right then when we know we need a revival. David had gone a year since his sin. But when Nathan convicted him, David realized how far he had gotten away from God. And he didn't wait till later. David immediately repented of his sins. I remember Brian giving a sermon years ago, Miss Janet, when we had our children's Sunday. And I was sitting at the piano that used to be over here. And at his invitation, I will never forget what he said. It made an impression on me then. He said, "If you ever feel that you've gotten away from God, ask yourself who moved. Because I guarantee you it wasn't God. I guarantee you it wasn't God. Folks, when we feel ourselves getting away from God, getting away from Christ, we need to turn and repent and call on Him to forgive us. Because my word tells me, my scripture tells me that He will. Can you imagine some of the people in the Bible, if they had just stopped and repented, how much heartache they would have saved themselves? What about Peter? I love Peter because, change the name, Peter is us, right? We have good intentions, but we've got feet of clay a lot of times. What if the first time Peter had denied Christ, if he'd have just stopped right there and asked for his forgiveness? What if Lot, over in the Old Testament, had rethought his decision to pitch his tent toward Sodom? It ended up costing him his wife because he did that. If he'd have just stopped. What if Samson had repented for ever looking at Delilah in the first place? It cost him not only his eyes, but his life. But his life. There's always a consequence for sin. Always. But when we start slipping away from God, that's the very time we really need to stop, repent, and ask Christ to come in our lives and revive us once again. Now, with all this said, folks, let me tell you something. I see and feel a revival going on here at Powhatan. And I want you to know that. I do. I think we all need revival in our lives. But folks, I'm seeing things happen here. Our Sunday school program is growing. Our youth are getting excited under their leadership. God is touching young people's hearts and we're baptizing them. Our nursing home ministry, people are showing up for that I haven't seen show up in the past. Our senior citizen lunch, people are coming to that, and our elderly are getting blessed. And guess what? Everyone else who is here is getting blessed from being there. God is bringing new visitors in with us. God is bringing old members back. Folks, there's a revival going on here. Don't you want to be a part of it? Well, it's great for our church. And that's wonderful. But you know what it really comes down to is making sure we have a revival going on in our own lives. And I don't think there's one of us in here that could truthfully say, Lord, I'm serving you to the best of my ability. I bet if we're all honest with ourselves, every one of us could find ways that we could serve Him better. So if salvation and that salvation experience doesn't excite us like it used to, if we don't have a passion for lost souls like we used to, if we feel ourselves slipping away from God, if we don't feel the Holy Spirit touching our lives and convicting us the way He used to, folks, we need a revival. We need a revival. And we need to call on Him today. We don't need to wait 2 weeks from now. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice for Brother Fred, as he comes 2 weeks from tonight, as he walks in these doors, to be able to feel what we feel. To be able to feel that there's something different in this place. God's here. We feel His Holy Spirit here. Folks, I'm so thankful for what I see God doing in this place. I want to make sure that all of us, every one of us, every one of us, are revived inside. Because, folks, if we are, our church will be. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Father, the words that this man after Your own heart has penned, Father, we know that he sinned. Lord, he was not perfect. He fell short of what You would have him to do. But yet, Lord, he was man enough to fall on his knees and repent and ask You to forgive him. And Your Word tells us that You did. Father, even Your very own precious Son, Jesus, came from the lineage of this man. Father, we know You love us. You sent Your own Son to die for us, even when we were sinners, and even when we were, and still are, Father, not perfect. Make mistakes every day. Father, Your Word tells us that You still love us. Father, I pray that You would begin revival in each one of us. Father, that it can go far outside of these walls, Father, to a lost and dying world. Father, help us to have that concern for ones that are lost, ones that are on their way to hell. Father, as we have our time of invitation, Lord, we ask that you touch hearts, that you change lives, and Father, that you draw us all closer to you. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.